From Brooklyn, New York, this is Jarring Segue, an in-depth look at issues sent in by you, our listeners, and woven together in a jarring way. This week, we return to our roots. Beth Hicks. I'm joined as always by
Scott Austin
and Amy Walensky. Yes. I felt like there was going to be an end there. I'm sorry.
I don't want to get in the way of the beauty that is the two of you just speaking your names, speaking your truth.
Speaking our names, talking about roots, talking about Beyonce.
Well, when are we not?
Talking about Beyonce as Kunta Kinte.
I don't think that would work.
No.
I think it would work brilliantly. If she played all the characters like Eddie Murphy in any movie he's in.
Yes.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I cannot.
Beyonce as
everyone.
Roots.
Beyonce as Roots. Anyway, we decided to go back to our roots with this one because we started as a kind of a random, jarring look at what was on your mind.
Our first episode, we didn't even have a name until we realized, what the hell, we're jumping around so much.
It's jarring. It's such a jarring segue. And we even said that. We said, what a fabulous name for a podcast.
My favorite part of our first episode is actually Beth forgetting the title. At the end of the episode, she's like, and what the fuck are we called? And we remember.
Exactly, we did. So that's the beauty of this, is that we get to throw the rules out and be like, fuck themes. We're just going to say shit and talk about things you want to talk about. See? That's why, because we listen to you.
See?
That we listen to you. So Scott has our list.
I do.
And Scott is going to jar us this way and that
way. I'm going to start by saying Happy Father's Day. It is
Happy
Father's Day.
Oh, yeah.
We did a whole episode a month ago for mothers, and I would like us to at least spend the beginning of this podcast talking about Father's Day.
Well,
so, whatever Father's Day makes y'all think of.
Well, it makes me think of my dad. I'm lucky enough to have a very loving, very involved father. And
me too.
My brother-in-law is father to my nephew, and he is a wonderful, again, involved dad. And my brother is actually now a foster dad and has a, Eben is 3.5 months now.
I didn't know you had a foster baby living in your apartment with you.
Oh, yeah, great. Because I live with my brother. But the funny thing is, I have three brothers.
Oh, this makes more sense.
Three brothers, and it's my older brother,
Jay. How confused she was by that comment for a
I was like,
there.
What are you talking about? Oh, I live with my brother, Steve. Yeah, because it didn't even cross my mind, because you know about my brother, Jay, dude. So
I didn't know about your brother, Jay.
Our listeners didn't know about your brother, Jay. They only know about your brother, Steve.
I have three brothers, Andy, Steve, and Jay. Jay is older, Steve, and Andy.
I hear
twins.
That once they were crossing a river and death stopped them, but they
thwarted death.
They thwarted death, and death gave them each one gift, and one of your brothers chose a wand.
A foster child.
More. one of your brothers chose a foster child. I love rewriting Harry Potter. So death reached into his sack of dead people and gave him a child. I just went to the cemetery today because my dad loves cemeteries, and we live by Greenwood Cemetery, which is
beautiful. Yeah,
beautiful.
They
great
are.
Views of Manhattan and
dead people's
dead
tombs.
People's
oh my
graves.
God.
But so we went to Greenwood, and a lot of people, when a baby would die or a young child, would get a statue of like a baby angel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah,
creepy.
They're so creepy.
The youngest we saw was a 1-year-old. And then there were a few 3-year-olds that we saw. Mm. I mean, we can't get too sad because the dates are like 1860. So, I mean.
Okay.
Like.
Still.
Still very sad.
I don't miss this child.
That child would be 100
that
and...
That child would be dead by now anyway. But creepy...
Oh, the
creepy little statues.
It's also, I mean, to me it's as creepy as the death pictures, where they would make
I'm sorry,
siblings...
death pictures?
They would take pictures of the dead body as a remembrance, but they would often make the siblings pose with the children that were dead. And so it's so creepy looking. And I'm like, on one hand, I do understand the idea of you want a remembrance of this child you've lost, you know, you, even if you've only had them for, you know, a week or a month or whatever. At the same time, like the looks on the kids' faces who are alive, like, I mean, because I would imagine how difficult it is.
Amy, play with your sister. But mom, she's dead. I don't care. Play with her.
Can I just say my dad's awesome too, and I didn't get a chance talking about him yet.
All right, yeah, go ahead.
My dad's the best. And I feel like I should say something really profound about him, but he was a music teacher. And
the fact that he's the best.
And he is profound. A really great dad, and he's a really incredible grandfather now. And my brother is also really awesome, and he is a dad. Mm-hmm. And they have a third kid on the way now, and so, you know.
My dad was awesome here dads. Visiting this weekend, and it was, I think it was nice for my brother to get to be, you know, the dad on Father's Day, because my dad is my two nieces' favorite person in the world.
Oh.
Papa is like...
Yeah.
He's, and my father is a wonderful man, and so is my brother, so... Lots of good dads in my family.
Yeah, my brother and my dad today are playing the second annual Father's Day ping pong match in North Carolina. And so I don't know the results of that yet, but I'm sure I can update you next week.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think I'm fascinated by holidays like Father's Day, Mother's Day, and Valentine's, like all of those days and stuff like that. And a lot of people... understandably find them really frustrating in a lot of ways, because like I'm lucky and you both are too, that you know you have a good relationship with your fathers, and I have a great relationship with my dad, and I call home at least once a week, and I check in. And so for me it's so funny to call today, yes, happy Father's Day, and yes, to say hello and to give him, you know, but every time we talk I say I love you, and every time we talk we check in. So it is kind of interesting how, I don't know. I'm fascinated by holidays. Like, they don't really bother me, but
I was in an improv group recently, a group at the Magnet in a program called The Circuit. And there was this woman, she was Danish, and she would, on Mother's Day, she was like, I don't understand this Mother's Day. Why do you, and we were like, well, it's a day to celebrate your mom. Just you take her to brunch, or you buy her flowers, or you do something else. Well, doesn't she have a birthday? We'd be like, well, yeah, you do it then too. Well, I don't get it.
Yeah.
And we'd be like,
you should celebrate your parents.
She also just liked to argue everything. So we talked about McDonald's breakfast once. You Americans with your superfluous holidays and your McDonald's breakfast.
Yes. Let's just discuss how amazing McDonald's breakfast is.
Yeah. Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It is
McDonald's
one of the
breakfast is much better than I think their regular. McDonald's breakfast is so much better than
if they could serve breakfast all day long. Yeah.
Do you know why they don't? I just learned why they don't.
It wouldn't be as good. It's like when they sold Cadbury eggs year round.
Yeah.
What? I disagree.
I would love that.
Wait, but why don't they serve?
I just found this out like literally 2 weeks ago. Just found out that the reason is, and it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense, is that the grills have to be at a different temperature for the breakfast food. So they only do it up until 11 because they literally have to change over the grills so that they can, because they have to, because they're cooking beef.
I thought it's because they had to change the menus. Have you ever seen them when they're changing the menus?
And it's like the rolly thing?
The old school
cream. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, not if it's got the digital menus.
But yeah, I wondered that.
Digital schmigital.
Schmigital.
But I've wondered that all the time. I was like, that's too bad. And a lot of people would love to get, you know, like 8 o'clock at night. Sometimes you just want a breakfast sandwich, whatever. And they're not doing it to...
It's my hangover food.
Oh, yeah.
If I am hungover, I need...
Wait.
A sausage McMuffin with egg and cheese. I don't...
Speaking
of... No, the biscuit. I prefer the biscuit.
Biscuit.
Speaking of Keeper of the List, I feel like... would jar the segue, somebody actually asked that a very interesting question, one of Amy's friends, about hangovers that I would like to answer.
Oh, yeah. Dudley asked us if the time you spend drunk makes hangovers worth it.
A good question. Now, Beth, but you're not really a drinker.
I have never been hungover because I don't drink. Not because I'm some special flower who can drink and not get hungover. It's because I'm not really a drinker. I will have you.
Never in your life have you been drunk.
Oh, I've been drunk. I've just never been hungover.
Really?
Yeah. I have a stop. I have like a stop where, and I also drink a ton. I will start drinking water before I'm done even being drunk.
You're so smart.
No, it's not smart necessarily. I don't think of it as smart. It's just, I'm not a big fan of drinking. Like, I've slowly been phasing it out, and I
completely
am happy. Yes. And I'm happier. Not because I have a problem with it. Like, I'm not an addictive personality when it comes to alcohol. Like, alcoholism doesn't really run in my family. I have some, like, distant relatives, you know, but, like, not my parents, not my sibs, nothing like that. And yet I don't want to drink, and I don't know why. So
do you find that going to bars and going out in social situations where alcohol is involved is harder for you or easy? Like, is it
totally same? It doesn't bother me. So yeah, the only thing that ever for me about being in a bar and not drinking is that I worry that I am making other people uncomfortable, because I know that when you have a friend who's sober,
well, Beth, you probably are making other people uncomfortable, but it has nothing to do
with the fact that you're sober.
With the fact that you're not drinking.
It's the fact that I'm an inveterate racist.
And that you pet people, like you always just go up to them and start telling them how pretty they are and petting their faces.
Only men with beards.
Uncomfortable? Yeah.
No.
Amy's with me. Amy's with me. Sorry. Amy and I solidarity, 2-1.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
How about you?
I mean, so I am notoriously a big drinker.
Yeah.
But more recently I've kind of cut back, and I think I took like 3 months off of drinking, and I've kind of just recently started drinking again. But probably not as much as I used to. What I have found is that the older I get, the worse the hangovers are.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to a point where I was, you know, like, I would get pretty good and sloshed when I'd go out at night, but it was the hangover the next morning that was making me nauseous and making me vomit. And that got a little bit much for me to handle because it would just destroy me for, you know, I was still functional. Like, you know, the hangover wasn't, I mean, I probably would have felt better if I could just stay home and not have to do anything all day.
I will only drink a lot, like, on a day that I know I have the next day completely free to
be hungover.
To, like, because to me it is a process. Like, if I know I'm going to be hungover, which has only happened, like, 4 times in my life, so.
Yeah, but, like, I got used to functioning with a really terrible hangover. And I, like, knew the things that would make me feel better. Gatorade, Cheez-Its, apple juice, depending on what I was drinking the night before. You know, a lot of Excedrin and those kind of things. And I've always had a good time. So it was never a question of, like, the hangover is going to make me stop drinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been that bad. Because that was just kind of like, well, that's the cost of it. If you're going to go out and have a ridiculously fun time, you're going to feel terrible the next morning. I think now, what I'm noticing is that because I'm not drinking as often and I'm not drinking as much, probably, I'm actually you know, like, the hangover goes away very quickly in the morning, and I'm fully, I mean, you know, like, I was pretty drunk last night, and today I probably slept a little later than I normally would, but, you know, I've walked 6 miles and I went to the gym and, you know, like, all of these things that I actually feel good about what I did
today. No, Amy, I'm actually not quite convinced that you're not just always drunk and delusional.
I know, right?
Because the friends who have sent us questions and comments today are named Dudley, Echo, and Beam. I'm fairly certain you're making these people up.
So, I feel like we've had the same discussion several times.
And I'm calling you out now that your friends are imaginary.
My friends are totally imaginary.
They come out when you drink.
Uh-huh.
So that definitely. You're drinking with friends instead
quote unquote,
of
that's a quote
instead
friends.
Of just drinking alone. So I'm just gonna pop through some questions from Echo and Bean.
Yes, that's
questions
have,
from
like,
Echo and Bean.
It should be their own talk show.
That's true. Okay. Beth, if you had to be another animal, what would you be?
Horse.
A horse. Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Johan would love that.
Mm-hmm.
Why a horse?
I grew up with them. I grew up on a farm.
Sorry, she's Amish. I keep forgetting.
Yeah, she's Amish.
I actually went to meeting this week, so she, my Quaker hackles are up.
She almost called it a car. She, if I had to be another animal, I'd be a car. Oh, I mean a horse.
Horse.
Oh, oh adorable. Funny.
Same thing.
Yes, so horse.
I thought it was hilarious.
Grew up with them. They're
Echo
very,
would be a dolphin.
They're very smart. They're very sensitive.
Dolphins are also smart and sensitive.
Did you see that crazy story about the woman who talks about how in the 80s or the or whatever, like, she was doing studies with the dolphins and, like, this one dolphin would come up to her and pleasure itself on her and she would, like, give dolphins hand jobs and stuff?
What the hell are you talking about?
My exact reaction, Amy. That was my exact
reaction. Why would you
reaction.
Share this with anyone?
I don't know. And she did. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? No, you're
that's
just fucking a dolphin.
Bestiality is what that is.
Exactly. Anyway, sorry.
Can't
continue.
Spell bestiality without best.
Sorry. Can I flip around? Amy, if you could be any wild animal, what would you be?
I don't think I would be one. I don't know. Like, that's such a weird question for me because I don't like living things.
That is the weirdest thing you've ever said on this podcast.
She doesn't like living things. She doesn't like dead siblings.
I'm notorious for, like, I'm not really a pet person. Like, I love dogs, yeah, but I don't really want one, you know. Like, I'd like to play with a dog, but then, like, send it home. I tend to kill plants very quickly. Like, I don't do well with living things. I can't think of an animal that I feel like I'd like being me.
But you wouldn't have to be it's not an affinity for the animal per se, though I certainly approached it that way. But, like, just more of a, is there something you would love to be able to do?
Yeah, I would not say that they are my favorite animals, but actually, now that we're talking about dolphins, I don't think that would be so bad. Or a bird of prey.
Yeah.
I would enjoy that.
Yeah.
I could be, like, a hummingbird, because I'd like to fly.
It's not really a bird of prey so
no.
much.
I was
but
not
a
bird.
No, I want talons.
I think it would be fun to fly.
Yeah.
So there you go. I'd be a hummingbird.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. I was at the zoo last year on a field trip, and there were these three lacrosse bros there, lax bros.
Yeah.
And they were, like, looking at the birds of prey, and they were like, man, I want to be that one. I want to be a falcon. No, I want to... And it was just the funniest thing to me that's what... You know, stereotypically straight dudes do. They go to the zoo and they talk about which awesome motherfucking bird they would be.
Motherfucking bee.
Nice.
They would motherfucking be. Here's a question from Bean. Beth, would you sleep with Bill Clinton?
Absolutely. That was Amy, not Beth.
Yeah, my honest knee-jerk reaction is yes. I would. I find him incredibly appealing. When he talks... I mean, like, when he gets up and he just speaks, he just commands the damn room. All the people who've ever met him who talk about meeting him, like, Chris Rock has talked about it. Chris Rock is like, I would sleep with him. He's like, he is the most charismatic man you've ever met. He just commands a room. He looks you in the eye. He literally makes everyone else disappear, and you are the only person in the room because he is so zeroed in on you, and I just feel like he would be good in bed.
I have experienced this charisma firsthand.
You have met him.
I have met him. I have shook his hand. And yeah, no, it's...
Is it just scary? Is it, like, there?
Well, I also have always had a crush on him, which started when I was in junior high and the whole Monica Lewinsky thing happened.
I like a man with a cat named Socks.
Yes. No, Walensky and... is mispronounced as Walensky often, and Lewinsky was mispronounced as Walensky occasionally, and so somebody made a stupid joke, and they said Walensky instead of Lewinsky, and suddenly I was called Monica for a while, which was fine by me, because I found Bill Clinton incredibly sexy.
He is.
And then when I was in high school...
You were, like, 8.
Yeah, it was junior high. And then I was in high school, and I had someone come up to me one day and just kind of slap me and say, oh my God! Has anyone ever told you look exactly like Monica Lewinsky? And I said, well, no. Actually, no one's ever told me that. But, you know, there were a couple people around who
no,
heard that.
No, because people aren't genuinely assholes. Like, she's not like, really old.
She's not bad looking, but...
No, I think she's very pretty.
She's a brunette with brown eyes and big boobs, and that's pretty much what I am, too.
And she was 19 when it happened. She was really young. She was 21. She was young. She was 19, 21. Like, and she grew up, and you look at her now, I'm like, she's a... pretty woman. Like, there's
she's
attractive. Yeah.
I would not sleep with Bill Clinton.
Why not?
I might spoon with him, but I don't want to see him naked.
Okay. Totally fair.
Nope. I wouldn't do it.
Totally fair.
Alright, well, I definitely would, and I'm okay. You welcome to call me Monica. Yeah. Which many people have for many years.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Echo, who would like to know the song Without You. Living Without You.
Yeah.
I can't say it, but...
Can't live if living is without you. You know,
yeah, yeah. That's the one.
Okay.
Which version is better?
Harry Nelson
or Mariah Carey?
Obviously Harry Nelson.
I'm going to go with Mariah.
I'm going with Mariah, too.
What?
2-1.
What?
Only because...
Harry Nelson wrote the song. Just for the record.
Doesn't matter.
Otis Redding wrote Respect for Aretha Franklin. Like, and Carole King wrote Natural Woman.
Like, I'm just saying, I like Harry Nilsson's version.
No. I love Harry Nilsson. That song, though, there's just something about the way she did it. And I'm not a Mariah Carey fan.
I am a 90s Mariah Carey fan.
I am not a Mariah Carey fan. But when I listened to the two, I had to remind myself of the two. I was like... I really like him, but I think I prefer her version. There's just something about it. Maybe it's because it's just the one.
Now, I'm assuming that you guys know the Ken Lee version, right?
I don't think I do.
This is from the Ukrainian version of American Idol.
No, yes. I do not know it.
And some woman, if you don't, you gotta go look it up. Yeah. It's the freaking funniest thing in the world. Yeah. This woman comes in and she says, they say, oh, what are you gonna sing for us? And she says, I'm gonna sing Ken Lee. And they're like, what are you talking about? She says, Ken Lee by Mariah Carey. They're like, you mean the song Without You? And then she sings it, and it's the funniest thing because...
I Ken Lee.
Yeah, and it's amazing.
I will
Google
look it up.
Ken Lee.
I will look it up.
Anymore. Yeah.
I will look it up.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
Back to Bean. What is the strangest place you've pooped?
I don't think I've ever, like, there's nowhere...
I haven't done a weird poop either.
No, I've had unfortunate times where like you've had to like go in a rest stop or like whatever, but like it's always been in a place that's appropriate to go to the bathroom, you know?
I mean, I feel like camping.
My God, wait.
Like, that's
I do have, I do have, I'm sorry.
Oh, yep, go ahead.
Bean, it's Bean, right?
Who, Bean. Yeah.
Bean, I take it back. It's not weirdest, it's just saddest. Just pathetic.
She was eating Ben and Jerry's while crying, watching An Affair to Remember and pooing.
No.
That's involved. Go.
No.
I was just thinking of sad things.
I was in Philadelphia with a friend, and I'm from outside Philly.
You're so right. Philly is a strange place to poop.
I'm going to get through the story if it kills me, Scott. So I was in because it's gross, and I want to get it over with quickly. So it's not even that gross.
It's like sex with a lady.
Maybe. none of us have ever had sex with a lady, so none of us would be able to say that.
There you go.
But I was with my friend in Philly. We'd spent, I can't remember where she was, like she was meeting me somewhere. Like she had gone to do something real quick and she was meeting me somewhere. And I just, unfortunately, my stomach just kind of went hanky. It was like, you are sick. Something you ate really didn't agree with me. And I felt so sick. And I was looking around. I was like, oh my God, I have to use the bathroom now. And this is so embarrassing. And I was by myself and I didn't even know where to go. And the Philadelphia Museum of Art was right in front of me. And
you ran up the stairs like Rocky.
No, because I would have shit myself if I did that.
Oh,
sorry for the TMI. That's my apologies. Okay. But well, my stomach hurt. Like I was
you
in
did
pain.
Celebrate when you got to the top of the stairs.
I did. But the thing is that I had to buy a ticket. I had to spend $14 to get in to use the bathroom.
Did you at least raised both fists when you pooped like Rocky?
No, because I was too busy being grateful that I had, you know, that I was feeling, because you know that feeling when you feel so much better, you're like, thank God. And then the rest of your day is better, like the rest of my day was better, but literally, and I walked up to my friend and I was like, I just spent $14 to take a shit. Let's go.
Is gonna happen next time I'm walking to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Well.
Like probably solidly for a week. When I take a shit, that song's going to be stuck in my head.
Yeah. There is this issue of living in New York City that, like, sometimes you have to go to the bathroom and you're not anywhere near, like... Yeah. So, you know, do you find a Starbucks and pay for, you know, a drink so that you can use the restroom?
Yep.
You know, do you go to the Atlantic Terminal where the Long Island Railroad has a really nasty bathroom, and you can use it. You know, whatever.
Yep.
That my friends who all are bartenders used to laugh because sometimes I would show up at the bar at random times during the day and just be like, I just gotta... I was in the neighborhood, and this is the closest place I could think of where I could pee.
Yeah.
So, you know, those kind of things. But sometimes, you know, like, I've been taking really long walks lately, and the idea of trying to find the random public restrooms that you can use, because there are times when, like, I'm out
there's an app
exercising.
For that.
Ooh, I like that.
There's an app.
But there's like, I've been out without money, without a phone, without anything,
right?
And felt like, oh my God, what do I do now?
I have peed on the High Line. So
yeah, you did. Didn't you tell me
I was drunk? I was drunk, and I This is one of the. It's probably one of the reasons I'm not getting drunk anymore. Is I don't like the decisions I make while drunk, including peeing on the High Line. Didn't get caught. Didn't whatever. It was away from everybody, but still, I was kind of like, I just peed on the High Line.
I think the strangest place I've pooed was actually it was in Japan in one of it wasn't my host family, but another host family when I was doing my abroad program. They had one of those fancy toilets, and it was the first time I had seen one that, like, that like cleans your poo, cleans your pooper.
Yeah,
and it's got the built-in bidet, if you will.
Yeah,
and it has the hot air that'll warm and dry your butt.
What? Yeah. So what is this?
I don't know.
It's great.
If I can feel that.
It's great.
Yeah.
So I have pooed on a fancy 21st century toilet that.
Okay.
Well, but the thing is, I was so shocked by the feeling of having hot water jets, like, gently washing me, that I stood up and it hit the ceiling.
Oh.
And so I then, like, I turned it off and I was drying the ceiling with toilet paper. And I was in the bathroom for far too long because I had to clean up after myself.
Yeah.
Because luckily there wasn't like shit on the ceiling. I'd already flushed before I decided to try the other buttons.
Oh, that makes sense.
But yeah, I have, so a fancy toilet. Is
yeah,
strange.
I was gonna say, should we discuss like the hotels that have like glass doors in their bathrooms so that, like, you can see, and I'm like, what
you can
like
see
point?
Out but no
well,
one
like,
can see in
no
theory.
But like, there are places where you, like, they're just I'm like, well,
what's the point?
Well, because like they're encompassing the shower, so they're keeping the water in, but like you can see straight through to the toilets, and I'm like, I need privacy.
I
enjoy my privacy.
I am not, listen, I don't care. I will occasionally, I have, you know, my one roommate's my brother, and I have my other roommate's my best friend. And like, if I really have to pee and she's in the shower, I will go quickly pee. Cause I'm like, we only have one bathroom, and sometimes it's a necessity. I won't do it for my brother, but whatever. However, I will say, in a romantic relationship, I don't need to see you pee.
Close the door. Please.
I don't need to pee.
Do you remember the couple's toilet spoof ad from Saturday Night Live in the 90s?
Yes. Yes, I do.
It
yes.
was like
yes,
a love seat toilet.
Yes, I do. I remember that.
Gross.
But they were like facing opposite ways,
yes.
so you could hold hands and
look
into each
other's
eyes.
It was like a love seat. It was like a true love seat, because the love
this
seats were that way.
This is the grossest idea I've ever
yeah.
heard of.
And it was hilarious. It was a funny Saturday
and
Night Live.
And I, you know, I have to say too, like, it probably comes from my parents, because my parents have been married for 40 years.
Because your parents pooped together.
No. The family that
like,
poops
no.
together.
My parents have been married 45 years this year, and
listen,
they never, ever, bathroom time is separate. Like, it's separate.
Yeah.
And
as
like,
our
and I
Hispanic
like,
listeners would say, todos hacemos caca.
I don't know what that means.
It means everybody makes poop.
Which is true, and I'm not ashamed of that, but I also want my privacy.
It's one of the three sentences.
Everybody poops.
I can say.
It's a great book. And smart to give kids, so they're not. I never want anybody to be ashamed of it. It's like, of course not. It's just a bodily function. But I also don't need to share it with anybody. It's like, I want my privacy in the bathroom.
Yeah. Back to Echo. Echo wants to know how we discovered that carrots were edible.
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
I'm going to assume it's like anything else that we... Because I know it's because they're, I mean, they're tuber... Like,
yeah,
they're,
I like that she didn't ask about any other food. Like, how did we realize that we could eat... Fill in the blank here.
Because, like, other things are all root vegetables.
Well,
had to be discovered. You know,
I imagine we saw another animal eating it and went, oh.
But, it's, like,
that's
I guess,
food.
You know, part of her question was the idea that, like, you've got these leafy green things that are above the earth.
Yeah.
And somebody ate them and they died. But then they were like, oh, you know, let's try the root of that baby, the orange thing, and let's try eating that and how good it is. But, like,
I doubt they died.
Well, I don't know. I was exaggerating, perhaps.
Yeah, they're not.
Dramatic effect.
They're not, like, poisonous. They're not.
But what, you know, like, how do you decide what the good part is?
I mean, and I think it's just, it's trial and error. Yeah, I was going to say it's trial and error, because it's just...
Hey, y'all have this? It's great.
Well, the other thing, too, is that...
It's gross. You want to try it?
It's sort of like you and your pink grapefruit Perrier.
Yeah, that tastes like basil. It's weird.
Gross.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Don't drink the pink grapefruit Perrier. Go for the polar seltzer.
Correct. Well, the thing about it is that, you know... A lot of, not all, but a lot of fruits and vegetables that are not just edible but good for us, they smell enticing. Like, when you smell a carrot, you know, a carrot is sweet. Like,
I've never smelled a carrot.
Really? I have. I smell
the carrots, Kat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? What does it smell like?
Like carrot.
Sweet.
It's sweet. It's got a sweet.
Really?
Yeah. It's got a sweetness to it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. That's because carrots are really sweet. They have like a lot of sugar in them, and so you when you smell it. So like imagine if you don't have any access to anything but like fruits and vegetables and things you gather and maybe occasional meat. So you're not going to be deadened to natural sweetness. So like you smell it and it's going to smell sweet. And like I think people would it just be that natural inclination to take a bite because it would just have that that sweet smell to it.
Yeah.
And then you taste it and it's delicious and it doesn't kill you. Like it doesn't, you feel fine.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Exactly. Now I've got Kelly Clarkson in my head.
Speaking of Kelly Clarkson, Julie would like us to discuss Jewel, specifically Jewel's poetry.
Okay. We've totally discussed this on this podcast.
I know
before.
We've talked about it.
I love it. I love that it keeps coming up. Though. I think it's a recurring.
It's our new Beyonce.
Yeah.
It's our new Pope.
We can
still
we talk
about
how
Beyonce.
Great she is on the sing off?
Can we also talk about she's coming out with an album to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Pieces of You.
I'm old.
Is that her first album?
That's her first album.
Oh, her poetry's terrible.
It is.
It's so wonderfully terrible.
It's not actually terrible. Poetry.
Yep, exactly.
That's very different. Yeah, song lyrics, while they may rhyme,
you know
are
what?
Not poetry.
I just found out that she actually recorded herself reading her poetry.
Of course she did.
And released that as an audiobook.
Of course she
did.
Why
don't you just buy her album? Just buy her album.
Yeah.
It's her spoken word album.
Yeah.
Which leads me to thinking about the Tupac musical.
I would like to actually see that weird
Okay, but Scott, you saw it, right?
I saw it.
How was it?
You know what? I liked it.
Because it was inspired by him.
Okay, so wait, pause. For those who don't know, there is a musical that's on Broadway right now.
Holler if you hear me.
Yes.
And it is billed as with lyrics by Tupac.
I also saw because it's all his raps, but they don't want to say like songs and lyrics because you know you kind of play around with the melody a little bit.
Sure.
When you copy someone's rap, so it's lyrics by Tupac. It's staged very smartly. The guy knows what he's doing. And he's, you know what? It's reaching a different audience than Broadway, the Great White Way, usually does.
Yeah, well played.
And I appreciate it. It's something I would love to take my students to because then they could see, oh, there are people, you know, that look more like me and less like you, Mr. Austin, on Broadway. And the voices were great. And I saw it in its third preview, so I'm assuming anything like messy writing. There were some transitions between songs that I was like, bad writing. But I'm assuming those things are going to get worked out.
Yeah.
They might not. So sorry if you go off of this recommendation, that's great. But, you know, it starts with the central character. He's in jail, and he's drawing in a sketchbook, and he's about to get out, and he does. He gets out of jail, and it's just him trying to, like, reincorporate himself into his community and into his life without getting into the same bad habits he was in.
Mm. Gotcha. That sounds really good.
And the dancing is phenomenal.
I bet.
I want to see it.
I mean, too.
It's an interesting idea. I think, you know, the Tonys were last week, is that right? And
yep.
The whole, you know, Rock Island, The Music Man was the first rap, which I was appalled by.
Yeah, it was bad.
Horrendous.
That was bad.
But I think it's interesting to actually take a different type of music and bring it to Broadway and present a musical that, you know, rather than trying to say like, oh, no, The Music Man was totally rap, like that was totally cool, and this is like, this will make it cool. No. You're actually taking rap music and saying, we can do something different with this.
Yeah.
And I admire that. I haven't seen it yet.
I'll
be interested to see how it is and if it works.
Yeah.
I also had a good time because I was with two friends from work. One of them always spends her weekends at Marie's Crisis, the piano bar in the West Village where you sing show tunes.
Yeah.
She,
one of my favorite places.
She really only knows show tunes. And another woman who knew all the Tupac canon and has not seen a musical in years. And I'm sitting next to these two women watching them both experience this play in completely different ways. Like Sarah is sitting there, she's the one who knows Tupac, and she's shaking her head and she's mouthing the lyrics. And I made a joke beforehand that when I saw American Idiot, the Green Day musical, Green Day came out and played with them in the last song, the last little couple minutes of the show. And I said, maybe Tupac will come out and jam with the actors. And Meredith was like, yeah, maybe. And I was like, Meredith.
Meredith.
He's like Elvis dead. Like, dead, but is he? But, so
she's hologram, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I thought it would be hilarious if she had gotten my joke. But, so, but just watching them both interact with it, like, Meredith was getting so pissed every time, like, someone was lit poorly or, like, something weird happened staging-wise. And Sarah was just, like, in the lyrics, and it was an experience.
I mean, it's interesting to me to compare it to the Green Day musical, simply because I am a Green Day fan, and Dookie is one of my favorite albums, and I will go back and listen to it, and it, you know, reminds me of fifth grade, and it reminds me of what was so great about Green Day when they were first huge. But the idea of American Idiot, the musical, I have no desire to see it. I think it, like, no.
I would say, like, no. Holler if you hear me, better than American Idiot.
And honestly,
and more cohesive plot.
But also, I feel like because Tupac's music and rap is not necessarily something that I respond to, I wonder if presented in this light, I would... not that I don't respond, it's like not something I listen to, really. Yeah. Whereas I have such great Green Day feelings that I feel like going to see that musical would ruin it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it would make me both angry at Green Day and also at this particular production. But I feel like something like Holler If You Hear Me might actually make me appreciate both this art form and what they're doing with it in a new way.
And I'm sorry, this is going to be a smooth transition, but Austin asked us about movie musicals. What mm-hmm. are, how do we feel about movie musicals? What are the best movie musicals?
Love a movie musical. Love
mm-hmm.
it. Love
I do too. I grew up on
like Phantom of the Opera. That movie was awful.
Oh, that was terrible.
But that
like, oh yeah, that was Madonna awful. Doing Evita was horrendous. Yes, yeah. I never even saw it.
The thing about this is that it's hard because you probably watched a lot of the same musicals I did. Like, I don't know if you watched when a lot of movie musicals growing up, but I was, yes, and I was raised on them, and so for
Fred
me...
Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers were, like, my second set of parents.
I was never a Fred and Ginger fan. I was a Rogers and Hammerstein, basically Barbara the whole Cook. Canon... The whole canon of Rodgers and Hammerstein, that's what my parents raised me on. And then
Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Yeah, they did old school Disney musicals, live action Disney musicals were wonderful. And the thing is that I loved them.
Bang, bang, bang. Sorry, what?
Okay, scary. How scary was the guy, though, the child stealer, whatever the hell he was?
I don't remember anything about that movie except
that. When I worked at a bookstore and a woman came up with her young son. He was probably about 4 years old and she was buying Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And the one of the women that I worked with said, "This is a great movie. I love that you're buying it for him. But I should tell you, if you haven't seen it in a long time, you may have forgotten there is one scene that is actually quite disturbing." And she wasn't kidding. And she's right. It's so fucking disturbing. It's this guy who's dressed all in black and he's like, "Come out, little children, come out."
And then because all of a sudden, all these dolphins swim up to him and start jerking off on top of him.
Oh, Jesus.
My God, Scott. Must you always involve jerking off dolphins? So, now, you obviously love movie musicals. Yes. I love movie musicals. But what do you think of the modern day movie musical?
Nope.
Like, has there been anything that's really...
I thought Chicago was well done.
Oh,
not a fan.
I thought Chicago was well done.
I saw it in the theaters and I did not like it.
I like me some Dreamgirls.
I haven't seen Dreamgirls.
Guilty pleasure or not?
I have
maybe.
Not seen. Like Little Shop of Horrors. I love me some Little Shop of Horrors.
Rent shouldn't have been done.
Nope.
Absolutely not.
Well, this is my thing. If it's done,
Moulin Rouge, great.
Okay, but a movie musical and a musical that's been made into a movie are very different things for me.
I agree.
Okay, I'll give you that.
That's why I don't really like the Rodgers and Hammerstein stuff. Amazing. Those are musicals that were made into movies.
Right.
What I'm talking about is Fred and Ginger, Singing in the Rain, you know, like those kind of things that were actually written as movies that were musicals.
Yeah. Though those lines were super blurred even back then. I mean, they would have stuff that would start on stage or as vaudeville that would then get turned into...
Yeah,
they blurred those lines. I mean, they always did. Because the thing is, back then,
Marx Brothers.
They
were like Robin Thicke, blurring lines.
Yeah.
But again, Marx Brothers are in a different category. They're not movie musicals. Those are comedies that happen to have music in them.
Oh, yeah, no, those are absolutely...
But a movie musical, to me, is a very, very particular thing, and I love the crap out of it. And I, you know, wish that we had things like that. I guess could you consider High School Musical a modern?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, modern absolutely. Of course it is. Yeah. And actually, I think that the young adult genre, the teen genre, is where you're more likely to see the made for, not from adapted from a play, actually made for the screen kind of thing.
Yeah, and I guess and of course, from then we Justin all, to Kelly.
And look at, and then there's also like if we go outside of our culture, I mean Bollywood. I mean,
yeah,
that is a cult like
Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, that was such a cute one. That was cute. I love Martin Anderson.
No, but I think it's a genre that I would love to see. I mean, such great. I don't think they do them like they used to, but I also don't think they do music like they used to. So, no. I'm just biased, and I'm sure, and High School Musical was adorable.
Well, Paul, your music teacher friend asked, how did being in school, choir, band, orchestra influence your taste in music now, etc.?
I mean, I think I also, I was raised by a music teacher, so that probably had more influence. I mean, I think when I was like 3 or 4, I asked to start playing the cello, and they wouldn't let me until I was 6. And I had to wait over, like, my 6th birthday present was a cello. So that, obviously, has been a huge part of my life. And music is always a really big thing for me. And I think one of the things that was great about music education in our school districts was that it provided me, at least, with the opportunity to try something.
Mm-hmm.
And not, I mean, I don't think I failed at anything because I'm awesome. But, but it allowed me the opportunity to try different things. So, I played the saxophone for a little while, and I played, the triangle and percussion for a little bit. And it just gave me the opportunity to kind of do something a little bit different.
Yeah.
Occasionally. And so even though cello and voice were my main instruments, I got to experiment in a way that I wasn't comfortable doing in any other other subject matter.
Yeah.
I guess, and so for me, that was really important. I think that's it allowed me to be more adventurous.
For me, I had an art teacher who came into my 3rd grade class and helped teach us, 2nd or 3rd grade class, and helped teach us the songs from Annie so we could audition for her theater company. But I was a dude, so I couldn't audition for Annie. But I hounded her for years to do Oliver. And I think musical theater and music class and playing French horn and then viola helped me realize that learning could be fun. And I think one of the most influential things on the way I think and see the world and interact with people was vocal jazz and really learning all those really hard chords and then how to play with them and how to listen to what's happening around me and then throw myself into it in a way that is fun, where I'm first copying other people and then exploring for myself. And I think that's what all learning should be. You first listen to it, you see it, you try to understand the world that way, and then you have to learn how to jump in and start doing it. And that's what I like about music classes was, and what I like about teaching drama is you're doing the work instead of just learning about other people who have already done the work.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point.
Mm-hmm. I really miss sometimes. I've tried a bunch of times to learn guitar, or to not to learn to guitar, but to stay disciplined enough.
Smith will teach you guitar.
I know he will.
These are the posters that are all over in New York City. Amy, Dan Smith will teach you guitar.
I've never seen Dan Smith. I've seen Dr. Zaz.
Yeah. Oh no, Zizmer? Dan Smith is like Zizmer. It's like he printed out on his own printer, and I'm sure Dan Smith is like a million people at this point, but it's got his picture and he will teach you guitar.
Yeah,
nice.
But the thing is that one of the things that I really miss from that period of my life, when from the time I was 8 or 9 till I was graduated from high school, when I was playing flute, and even a little bit past, even a little bit into college, was that I took, my parents wanted me to have lessons once a week, and I would have lessons once a week, and we had to practice, and you had to be disciplined. And I was terrible about my practicing, but I still would get it done. I still would reach a point where I wasn't bad, but I was never going to be great. And I now know, I think part of the reason that I had such a hard time with the flute was the armature was tough with my bite, and it would cause pain. Like, ooh. I had a very pronounced...
Maybe the flute was not the instrument for you.
Exactly. And I didn't know that. When you're young, you don't always know. You don't know how to articulate these things. Now I look back and I'm like, I probably should have been playing something else, because that kind of armature is just not right for someone who's... Because now I don't have that same bite because I had 4 teeth taken out and my teeth pulled back and blah, 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 whatever. I'm like, yeah, no wonder I was in pain.
If I had to give you, like, a spirit instrument, like an instrument that I would accessorize you with, I think you'd look rockin' with a banjo.
Yeah, that makes sense for me.
I actually really think
so. Banjo. I have said recently that I want to take up the ukulele, because yeah. I think I would look awesome with a ukulele.
Yeah. I think yeah. they're fun.
All right. What would I look awesome with?
Well, I want you to give me my spirit.
Give you your spirit instrument?
Because obviously you don't think it's a ukulele.
No, I think ukuleles are comical.
I think violin.
Huh.
I could see you in the... I can picture you with a violin here. I can just picture you playing the violin.
I want to give you a bassoon.
A bassoon?
A bassoon.
Love a bassoon, but I could literally picture you with a violin just going down. Or like a fiddle, or even just like with that beautiful bluegrass fiddle kind of thing. Yeah. But like,
sexy bluegrass fiddle.
Yeah.
This is gonna sound dirty, and I don't mean it dirty at all. But to me, your spirit animal, you need to use your mouth.
Oh, baby. Mm-hmm. I like it. I feel like you'd be a bass, like upright bass.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never liked the upright bass all that much. I don't know.
I went on one date with a guy who played the upright bass.
I think bassists are weird.
No, like, but I feel like he was. He was really lovely. Good with your hands.
Thank you. Yeah. We just got very sexual.
Yeah, we did. Interns. But I would like to ask a question. Why did everyone get forced to play the recorder? That was a terrible idea.
Because they're fucking cheap.
Well, but they're terrible.
And easy because then they can
say they've
got.
Then they can say they've given music education to people.
Ugh.
They can. And it's sad. It's so sad.
Trust me. If I heard Hot Cross Buns on the recorder one more time next year, I was going to kill some.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, one of our topics this week, Michael sent in, was Whoopi Goldberg. How do we feel about Whoopi Goldberg? When you think of Whoopi Goldberg, what part of her career do you think of?
I don't think about her career. I think about her lack of eyebrows.
Ah.
I think about the fact that she is the one who, on The View, talked about how Roman Polanski, what he did to that 13-year-old girl, wasn't rape. And ever since then, I've lost all respect for her.
What?
Yes. Wasn't rape?
Wasn't rape. He didn't, like, force her or anything. It wasn't rape. He wasn't a violent rapist. It wasn't rape. You know, even though he drugged her, she was 13, and he raped her.
I
lost respect for her before that on The View, when she wore a denim shirt and jeans.
Canadian same tuxedo,
wash,
I believe.
Same yeah. wash. But
she was so good in Ghost. She was so good in Ghost. I loved her in Ghost.
And Sister Act.
Sister Act. Oh,
Sister Act.
Amazing. Corinna is one. I love that movie, and so few people have seen it, and it's wonderful.
Pretty great.
It's wonderful.
The traffic light.
Yeah, it's still blowing traffic lights.
And Ray Liotta was wonderful, and I loved. I can't remember the name of the little girl. I'm trying to
think. Mara Wilson.
No, it wasn't Mary Wilson.
Oh, no, it was the one that plays in Veronica Mars.
Yes, exactly her. And she's wonderful.
Oh, she's
Kristen
so good.
Kristen Bell.
No, it's she played Mac in
Veronica Mars. Oh, is it Kristen Bell?
No. But I know exactly who you mean, and she's wonderful.
She's so good.
She's so good in that.
She's in so many things, and she's so good.
Yeah, and she's
a creepy little girl who played Curly Sue. That girl was creepy looking.
Jesse Eisenberg's sister. It's an Eisenberg.
Seriously?
Yes, Jesse Eisenberg's sister. Yes, she's an Eisenberg.
Wow.
Yes.
She was also in those Pepsi commercials.
Yep. Yes, that's where she got her start.
She was a creepy kid.
Yeah. I think it's a good wise of her that she kind of pulled. I think she pulled
it's
back.
It's really killing me that I can't remember this girl's name.
So you know who else pulled back and has written about like how she doesn't like that she was a childhood star? It was the girl from Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mara Wilson. I just referenced
that. Oh, okay. That's her name.
She's got, I love her blog.
She's fabulous.
She's a writer now.
She's a great writer.
She's an incredible writer. But she does some like... Not like stand up, but like storytelling stuff in the area.
I've seen her before.
She lives in Brooklyn, right?
Oh,
yeah. She does. She's a local.
Yeah,
she's
and very... she's apparently fantastic. I feel like I love everything. She follows me on Twitter. I love everything she does.
Now, Nancy.
My mom.
Nancy Walensky.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Asked, what's your favorite book?
So... Beth, go ahead, Beth.
I looked up. I totally cheated. Tina Margarino.
Oh, Tina Margarino. Yes. She's so good.
Sorry. Anyway, continue.
Favorite book. But you had something to say about that.
No, that was Marjorie.
But you had something went.
Yes. Before when we were getting all these questions in, and my first thought was it'd be easier, I think, picking my favorite organ, because like, how do I define picking one favorite book? You know, I have a friend who she feels the same. She loves books, but she feels very specifically about movies. She's like, I can't do the top five movies. I can do genre. I could do director. So it's like, if you ask for like my all-time favorite children's book, I could tell you it's Tuck Everlasting. If you ask me for my all-time favorite, like, novella, like, because it's so hard.
Well,
it's so hard. So how do you even define it?
But the way I think about this is I think about, what are the books that I could read over and over again and do read over and over again and I never get sick of? Because I have books that I will every year or so go back to because they're like comfort food to me. If I'm in a mood or if I'm just like, I need something that feels familiar, I'll go back and read Ender's Game.
Yep.
Yeah. Or I will go back and read The Mists of Avalon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so those are my two favorite books. Because I know that I can, or, you know, I think I'd probably put Me Talk Pretty One Day in that category as well. Because those are the books that I will go back to time and time again, and they will always make me feel good.
There are a lot of books I'll go back to, but we were given a survey by someone at the Fayetteville Manlius, where I used to teach. He was a part of the teachers union, and he was like, let's get to know our members a little bit better, and he sent out the survey, and one of the questions was, what's your favorite book? And my response to him, to Michael Osborne, a man who willingly picked the nickname Moob for himself.
Nice. Moob. A, you can't pick a nickname for yourself.
True. B, I agree with that.
Moob.
Yes.
So Moob, who I actually really love, great guy, horrible nickname. Moob asked us.
Makes me think of a cow.
Makes me a man boob.
Man boob. It's man boob. I responded to all of the questions except that one. I said, favorite book? You're asking some of us who are English teachers to pick a favorite book. Could you pick a favorite rock? Because he taught earth science. And he came the next day to my classroom with a nice piece of rock and said, this is my favorite rock. And then when I left the school, he brought me a green and white rock. Like, it's just different. It's like made up of both different, I don't know, compounds.
Is it your favorite rock?
And he said, this is my FM rock and I want you to take it with you and have this. So I have two rocks from Moon.
Nice.
So I have favorite rocks. They're both nice. GN.
Well, what's your
nice
favorite?
But favorite book? I don't know, because, okay, so Brooklyn Follies by Paul Auster, I really love. But I always go back to Catcher in the Rye in December. There's something about that book that I didn't like it as a college student, but I did as a teacher. So books that I felt differently, but I don't really have a favorite book. I also think it's funny to like judge things by favorite. Like,
yeah,
I have different books I will revisit based on my mood.
And like, it's funny because I've read that when you talk about favorites, like, yeah, there are books that I can and do reread, like Phantom Tollbooth. I will reread.
And Green Gables, the entire series.
Right.
I recently reread
Blood of You Two. What?
Yeah, I recently reread The Boxcar Children, and by this time, in 5 years.
But
so bad. Just one. Some things you shouldn't go back to.
But aren't those the kind of books that were like written by a bunch of different people?
I think so, but not the first one, obviously.
Oh, no. Yeah. But it's also meant for like a child. Obviously.
Anna Green Gables.
But different ages.
Yeah.
And Boxcar Children's not good, is what you're saying?
Yeah, no.
That's what I'm saying.
Because that's the thing. Some
things you should
books,
go back to.
But and Little then Prince, other children's great. Books you go back to and you're like, this is even better than I remember because now I see what they're doing. Like, I read Tuck Everlasting when I was 12, and then I read it again when I was 25, and I was sobbing when I was 25 because the whole thing of like mortality and choosing to die, because you can't really live if you do not die. Like, I mean, I was like, oh my God, I read this when I was like 12, and I liked it, but I thought it was great, but I didn't quite get it. And then when I hit, you know, and if I read it again today, I would probably be
a book I didn't understand the subtlety of when it came out when I was a teenager, but have recently revisited and think is a whole different type of brilliant is it's called A Knight Without Armor. It's by Jewel. It's a book of poetry.
You're a knight without armor, jackass.
I am. Our final question tonight comes from Connor, who just got home. So I'm going to wrap up this podcast so that he can
make
his dinner and
relax.
Stomp around in his tap shoes. My tap shoes. He borrows them sometimes.
Nice.
he wants us to discuss the size of our microphone, because it is quite large.
It's phallic. It's phallic.
Well, all microphones are.
Yeah. Well, no, not all microphones are. Not all microphones are. Have you seen the shape of some of the microphones? What kind of penises are you looking at? No. Not all microphones.
You need to get out more, Beth.
I need to get out precisely as much as I have if I'm going to see penises that look like the microphones that I've seen.
I don't know what microphones you're thinking
of. It's a very pretty microphone.
It is.
It's lovely. It's like old-timey, like, I want to sing a jazz standard.
That's exactly why I love it. Yeah, my brother, Steve.
I want to talk about the shadow. He knows.
The shadow knows.
It's a Yeti Blue microphone, if anyone's wondering. It's a USB mic, so you can just plug it right into your computer. It's very nice and fun and makes for a slightly better quality of sound than just talking right into your computer.
Although, you tell us, does it?
Anyway, all right. So on that note, thanks for being with us on this, our return to form, our random talk about anything and everything. And thanks for sending in especially I have to give kudos to Amy's friends for sending in some of the most random questions I've heard and were awesome.
Beth, you didn't remember to use air quotes when you said Amy's friends.
You know what, jerk? I got lots of friends.
Dudley, Echo, Bean.
Oh, wait, are they like the cats that I used to live with? Reginald.
Reginald.
You know what?
Sir Whiskers
no,
Face.
No, but no, thank you to the Amy's friends who sent in great questions that are fun, like the truly fun to answer.
Amy,
and,
I'm sorry, I can't eat your friends or your mother.
I really like that my friends are the ones that are sending in all the questions, and yet you guys like to make fun of them.
I had two other friends.
So you know what? Next week, you guys are in charge of the questions. That's all I'm saying.
Okay,
why
fine.
Are you throwing me under the bus?
No, I'm just saying.
Fine.
Next week, my friends get a break, and we're going to make fun of your friends.
Start Amy's tweeting
friends.
At us
I
now.
I want you to know, Amy just threw me under the bus. So that's mean. Anyway. But thank you so much, as always, for contributing to this podcast. We literally could not do it without you. It would not be nearly as much fun.
Hopefully you've learned a lot about Juul, hangovers,
dolphin masturbation.
Oh, I'm so uncomfortable.
High school band class, big microphones, movie musicals, and everything else we discussed.
Exactly. And have a wonderful week. Enjoy yourself. Again, happy Father's Day to those wonderful fathers out there and to the fathers that have left this earth. I hope you're up in heaven like Jamie with Jamie.
I visited a lot of them today.
Yeah, you did.
In the cemetery.
Yeah. So anyway, I am Beth Hicks.
I am Scott Austin.
And I'm Amy Walensky.
And Ken Lee is also with us in spirit.
Ken Lee, to Lee Woody Woo Dow Choo.
Look it up, everybody. Look it up.
I can't live.